Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
No, no, Steve, it's me. Oh, there's voicemail. Steve, it's me. Hope you're doing good. It's snowing again up north here. I was calling because it was made aware that you're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, and I wanted to share some of my thoughts with you. On the weekly show that you guys are putting out there to the world, the Muskie world, and there's no other way to say it. You and Tyler, you kind of suck. The information you give, other than when occasionally I come on, and I mean you give me my minute or two here or there, but I mean that's not enough to for people to actually learn anything. But I mean, I don't even know half the time some of the words you guys are using. And what is it with the Pepsi? I don't give a, why do you get goofy with the Pepsi? I mean, I've been drinking cola since I was, a little kid. We used to get it in glass bottles. Tex would come home and
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
It's me again, in case you didn't recognize my voice. I don't know what happened there. A person came on and told me that my time was up, but I didn't see where their quarter slot was, for to get more time. Anyways, I don't remember what I was talking about before, but so like I was saying to you before, aliens. I really want to talk to you a bit more about this subject, and hopefully spread the word to the viewers. So that's what we were talking about, the podcast. Yeah, you guys suck. The show's horrible. It's none of the information anybody can use. As far as I can tell, I think maybe you guys are trying to make it so that there's just more muskies for you to catch, because they ain't nobody gonna catch a darn fish if they listen to you. Now, using Sausagevilles, on the other hand, that was some real information.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Steve, and me. Who is this assistant of yours that keeps telling me I'm running out of time? Will you just return my call already? Because I got obviously a lot on my mind, and this time limit on this answering machine. When you rewind the tape back on your message machine when you get home. You'll see. I keep running out of time here, but anyway, give me a call back, because enough about the show. Is another thing that's kind of been bothering me that I wanted to run past you, but I don't quite understand, why do they call it taking a dump instead of leaving a dump? I mean, where are you taking it? I don't want to take it anywhere. Call me.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Steve, this is Meat again. I'm 2/3 of the way through a bottle of my favorite Boone's Farm, so I'm just gonna get right to it. You and Tyler, as far as I'm concerned, are a public enemy number one for the muskie fishing world. You're a couple of maniacs, but the information you give out, you're just sending people on wild goose chases all over Timbuktu. And all these people going out there, they don't know how to handle this the fish right. And I mean, the people are going to, and fish are going to be dying. I mean, you think the Tyrannosaurus Rex is extinct? Wait till the Slavosaurus Rex is extinct. I mean, I'm gonna have a problem. I'm sorry, Steve. I had to take it all back. Just call me, please. I love you, buddy.
All right, folks. Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Tyler, what do you think of my voicemail this week?
I love it.
Man, meet Paina, tough customer.
He's a harsh critic.
Meat. We appreciate everything you've done for the musky meat community there. Anyway, 1 year, Tyler. Here we sit.
One disaster train wreck of a year.
One absolute wonk wonk after another.
It's me stupid.
Anyway, I do want to share. Listen, we got some stuff to cover, but I want to share some of the stuff I thought was the funniest this year.
Ooh, let me hear it. Laying on me, son.
You know, here's probably the funniest moment in the podcast. that pretty much sums it up, dude.
That's how funny we are.
The sound of crickets.
Crickets.
Now, anyway... You know, the one that did crack me up, Tyler, in the past year is the Chewy, the Chewy bit. Should I play the Chewy bit, Tyler?
Chewy, how could you? I went through your text messages last night while you were asleep. You've been texting pictures of your fur saber to other women's. I'm leaving your ass, Chewy. I'm leaving you. I'll see you in court, you son of a bitch. I'll take all your monies.
Chewy, what do you think?
Chewy, you dirty dog.
Dirty dog. Tyler, there's been a lot of lowlights this year. And a lot of guru words of wisdom. Should we play my favorite or your favorite guru words of wisdom? What do you say?
It'd be very wise if you did.
Let her rip!
The guru says, the further you hold it out, the bigger it looks.
Oh, my goodness. The guru with his words of wisdom. But I think more than anything, Tyler.
Yeah.
What has really done it for me is Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders.
Yes. You know, we haven't come out with a complete song yet. Uh-huh. And, you know, we're working on it, trying to get past the 5-second mark of a song.
Right.
But we are working hard to provide you guys with some cool beats from Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders. Well,
you know, here's some of the top tunes from Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders so far. Before we promise a full song, right, Tyler?
It might be hip hop, death metal, or reggae. You never know.
They can do it all, folks.
Fraulein.
Yes.
I want to show you something.
Oh, really?
It's big. It's black. It's orange.
Do you want to see my pounder? Do you want to see my pounder?
Yes.
Do you want to see my pounder?
Yes. Bite me.
Andrews and the Bottom Raiders have not won a Grammy Award yet.
It's all rigged.
Hands down.
Hands down rigged against Muskie Fishermen.
the greatest musky band on the planet.
Rigged like a sucker rig. It's rigged
like a
it.
Sucker rig. Tyler, you know, there's a lot of stupid. There's not a lot of great moments. There's a lot of stupidity from the last year of the Musky 360 podcast.
Yeah, we kind of have a lot of space between our ears.
But one of my favorites in the last little recap we're going to do, it's another recent one here. It's our dear friend Elmer from the Musky Shop. Here it comes.
When I started musky fishing, we made our own fishing line out of goat's hair and turpentine. And we used a raw potato as bait because it was popular at the time and we were real men.
Man, you guys were stone age back then.
Stone age. Tyler,
speaking of
stone age, looks like it's getting a little icy up north, buddy.
It's turned into the frozen tundra of awfulness. We may be up north in northern Wisconsin. Got a week to 3 weeks left.
Is it trolling? Is it suckers? I know we've been going back and forth, but it's been like chilly willy, man.
Suckers, jigging, trolling. If you have a bucktail on your boat, just throw it over the side of the boat. You don't need it.
just chuck it.
Just everywhere. Like you shouldn't have it with you. You're not going to catch anything on it.
Well, Cody Dalton did a quick tip for the app this week. Things are heating up down south though, because we're just sort of getting to that downward slide for the fall. So for the southern guys, man, Indiana, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, that whole bit, things are firing up. Next week we're gonna have Cody on. We're gonna do a big sort of a southern musky roundup here, cause I'm gonna be at the musky shop.
What?
At the musky shop.
You're gonna be up north, in my neck of the woods.
At the musky shop.
You're gonna stop at the Monaco Burger King, Steve.
Buddy,
I'll buy you a burger.
I promise. I will be at the Minocqua Burger King at some point. I'm going to be there. There's no way. I'm going to be there. I will be going on a pilgrimage to the Minocqua Burger King. I promise you.
I'm going to ask you. Every time I drive past that, I get a little sick. Just a little bit.
I can't breathe if living without you. You know, I get a little misty in the eyes over the Minocqua Burger King. There's just nothing for it. I'll be at the Musky Shop. The reason being is there's some big old changes going on, folks. You just wait.
It's going to be cool.
Big tech coming to the Musky Shop.
Elon Musk.
Like, I'm talking, the Musky Shop is about to be the Tesla of musky fishing.
Super fancy.
Super fancy. You just wait, folks. Steve Paul's at the ones and the zeros. And the Musky Shop is going to be rocking and socking. We're going to talk about it on the podcast once I'm done up there. But you guys are going to be able to, like, you're going to be able to buy baits with your thoughts.
You just walk in and like they hand you a bag of all the stuff that you're going to buy.
It's just a white room. There's not even baits in it anymore. You just walk into a white room and Jay's standing there. What baits are you thinking about?
You just stick your hand, you stick your head in like this machine, mm-hmm. and then it just reads your thoughts. And then all the baits that you want are sitting right there.
Just spits out a J.B. Rattler. That's. But anyway, big tech news. The big musky news is the big tech coming to the musky shop. The other big tech, Tyler, is I've been playing with you a little bit this week. You've been playing with me a little bit, too.
Long distance.
We've been playing with each other over the internet. Folks,
that's not creepy.
I'm going to tell you. Tyler, do you know where you're at?
No.
Where are you at, Tyler?
I don't know.
Do you know where you're at, son? This is musky! Musky Country.
What?
What?
It's Musky Country.
Boys, I'm going to tell you. Oh, my Lord. I'm going to warn you. You guys are going to have fun in the off season because Musky Country is coming to the Musky 360 app. Guys, I'm just going to throw it right out now. We have a video game coming out, Tyler.
A video game?
Video.
What's a video game?
A video game is where you play Pong, son.
Are you from the 1980s?
I actually am from the 1980s.
I know.
Listen, I'm going to throw it out right now. A bad, bad dude named Paul is working with me on a game called Musky Country.
Musky Country.
And folks, you're going to be able to play as the guru, as me, or as Joe Booker, and catch muskies from the comfort of your couch or toilet or car or airplane waiting room or Greyhound bus, depending on your socioeconomic standing. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to catch muskies in Musky Country. So I want to hear your guys' ideas. Best idea for a musky fishing video game wins a junior's in line. Right now, we're going to have all the Joe Booker lures in there. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. I want you guys to get hype about this game. You're going to be able to catch muskies, and Joe Booker's going to be your guide. Steve Paul's going to be your guide. Tyler Andrews will be your guide in the game, and we're going to fish. Tyler, we're fishing Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're fishing Wisconsin. We're fishing Tennessee, and we're actually using real locations. Real fish pictures, and real musky lures in this game. And the coolest part of this is you can go to where? What place can you visit in the game? You can visit the musky shop in the game.
You can buy lures in the game?
You can catch fish and get more fish points, fish bucks, fish shekels, whatever it may be. To get more lures from Jay at the Musky Shop.
I like the idea of just giving, like, there's no wallets in this game. Like, just giving Jay a bag full of musky shekels.
Musky shekels. You earn musky shekels to buy musky baits at the Musky Shop. Guys, I'm so excited about this. Tyler, you've been playing it.
I have. It's been
if you think I'm kidding, addiction. It is addictive. There are follows, there's big fish, there's small fish, there's topwater, there's crankbaits, there's the whole bit. They follow in, and they're not easy to catch. They're easier than, you don't have to grind for 8 hours on the video game, I promise you. You don't have to grind for 8 hours. But there's big fish in the game. It's actually real locations. The muskies hang out on the real locations that these fish come out on. There's going to be a free version on the app. You can play. We'll talk about a full version. It's so cool. I'm having a blast with it. You know, it's a project that's coming together. I'm just telling you guys, it's a labor of love. And we want you guys to be able to have fun with it. So if you got 5 minutes to kill, 10 minutes to kill, Musky 360s, Musky Country. You're going to be able to play with me. Play with Tyler. And if you earn enough musky shekels, you can play with Joe Booker. You can play with Book Daddy. Get in there and play with. Play with him. Play with him, Tyler. Play with him.
I love it.
I said
play with us all.
I said play with him.
We are here to be played with.
I want to be played with.
Play with me,
play
Jimmy.
With me. Listen.
Be my friend.
Be my friend.
I guide you to muskies, yeah?
Yes, we got the muskie. Yes, we catch muskie. What's that bait, Tower, we're laughing about? This bait is for men, not for child.
Yeah. That is the best marketing for any lure.
I'm not even going to say it. There's a bait that literally, It might be made in Slovenia or something. It says on the package, bite for men, not for child. Anyway. God, Tyler. Tyler?
Yeah?
You know where you are, baby? You're in Muskie country. That's where you're at.
I'm in Muskie country.
It's going to be fun, guys. Honest to goodness, we are, believe it or not, 100% legit. Muskie game coming out. Muskie country. Me, the guru, Joe Book Daddy himself. We're going to be your guides. You catch nothing but 18 inchers. I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
No. Dude, we'll start playing the game. It's just panfish.
Just panfish. It's... You've got to play the game for roughly 36 hours and you'll get a follow because it's just like real muskie fishing. I'm teasing. It'll be easier than that. It's a lot of fun. The other thing I want to talk about, Tyler, is no muskie shows.
None.
We do not talk about a certain health crisis on this podcast. I don't talk politics and I don't talk other crap. But the word's coming down the pike. Most of the typical muskie shows are just done. A lot of people know this. So, Muskie Shop Arena, we're working on some stuff. There'll be other stuff to show you guys, new baits coming out. But also, too, send us an email. What new baits do you want to see for 2021? You know, a lot of these companies are like trying to figure out what do you guys want to see. If you have ideas for colors, you have ideas for this, that, and the other. We know these guys. We can get them in their hands. That's the deal. The first up, I'm just going to go there, is Robert. Robert said, hey, guys, I had a chance to stop by the muskie shop this week. Just like the last 500 customers, I tried to trade a possum for a shield rod. Needless to say, it didn't work out so well. Luckily, Jay was a great sport and decided to show my 8-year-old the daughter or show my 8-year-old daughter the possum that starred in the latest Muskie Shop YouTube video. He sent the picture. Jay's holding the possum. He's holding it dangerously close to the child. Dangerously close. They keep
danger, danger.
They keep a live possum there.
Oh yeah, it's trained to just stay within a 2-foot radius of the shield rods.
It will just sniff them out, folks. That possum's mean. Anyway, Kyle said, what is your number one guiding horror story? Wow.
Bleh.
And he says, have you ever had a customer not pay for your trip? Wow. Ooh. We went from 0 to 100 real fast.
We're diving right in, just ignoring like
the deep end. No warming up here. Number one guiding horror story. Getting a hook with a bulldog.
Gross.
As bent over to get in the hatch, and I got a mag dog right in the tuchus. That was the worst because I told the guy all day long, stop casting into the boat. That was bad. Another guiding horror story, which is a fact and is insanity, is the Man Overboard podcast.
Oh, it's such a great one, though.
Of losing the dudes overboard. That was... Dude, I could see the judge dropping the gavel on my manslaughter case. That was ugly. That was a bad one. I had a trip recently of people that were just, like, sinking the boat. Because they were, like... they were Culver-sized.
That's don't insult my Culvers.
Don't listen, you cheese curd. Listen, I can't tell you that I have the worst one. I can't tell it on the podcast. That's how bad it is. You know which one I'm thinking about, Tyler.
Oh yeah.
I can't tell it. Man Overboard is about the worst that I will publicly tell. Now, Kyle, if me and you were sitting down and have a Pepsi together, I'll tell you all about the worst, the real worst. Man Overboard is bad because there's nothing worse than I got a 50 in the net and I got two dudes in the water. That was bad because taking people back to the ramp pantsless is about as rough as it gets.
Look at my tidy whities, folks.
My tidy whities. Boomer looking good in them Fruit of the Looms. But that's it. Have you ever had a customer not pay for your trip? I have not. I've not had anybody do like a Benny Hill and run their truck and take off. I'm moderately sizable of a human being. So that's going to be, you know, that's going to be an issue. It doesn't boil down to that. Kyle, I will find the time to write you an email and tell you the number one horror story. The thing is, this is like guiding. And that's one thing we've gotten a couple emails about overall about guiding, right? At some point, I'm going to get a hold of Doug and a couple other guys and just do like a guide show.
That'd be amazing.
And just talk about like the do's and the don'ts. You know, but other than that, I mean, everybody's pretty cool. It's muskie fishing. If we were guiding for bluegill, it'd be different. Anyway, next one up is Wendell. Wendell says, do you guys ever fish chatterbaits for muskies? And what brands do you guys recommend on muskie chatterbaits?
The brand that I use is Spitfire Muskie Baits. They make some rock'em sock'em chatterbaits.
Yep.
They're awesome.
That's what I fish too, which is a custom chatterbait. Silicone skirt, extra sort of like aerodynamic head. And the cool thing about those is they don't stop. You know, where there's not many chatterbaits on the market, but the other chatterbaits will like stall in the corners. And you've run into that, Tyler, like where you go to figure eight a chatterbait and it stalls.
Mm-hmm. It's annoying.
Yeah, and these don't. So we fish Spitfires. I think Muskie Shop's going to have those real shortly, which is a custom company out of Illinois right now, which is like, they make the Big Norm, they make the Spitfire Chatterbait, and some other stuff. But the Spitfires are really tweaked. That's what me and you like about them, because it's not like that. There's not that many other chatterbaits on the market. And a lot of people, you don't understand about chatterbaits, which is, it's not to replace bucktails. It's really a killer thing for pressured fish and negative neutral fish.
It's something different. Nobody's throwing, you
Nobody's
know?
Throwing, and nobody's on that game. If you want a Spitfire, I know Jay at the Muskie Shop can get them right now. So if you're looking for something like different for the spring, I know Spitfire is going to be one of those baits that like a lot of people, a lot of like the guides know about right now, but not a lot of typical anglers know about.
It's a secret.
Me and you know about them. We crushed on those things.
Don't release it yet.
Don't. Tyler's been saying, please don't let the public have that bait. That's the way I feel about them. Because it's like, it's one of those deals of like, I can have a client in the front of the boat throwing double eights or sevens or something like that and come right behind him with a chatterbait and move a fish that has already been caught, or that fish is negative or neutral and they can't stand to not come up and look at it. And the big thing, like I said, about like the Spitfires is they corner way better. The other chatterbaits, like you get in the corner of a figure eight and it like stalls out. Another thing is with chatterbaits, a lot of people don't realize you can trigger fish by stopping that bait. You don't have to reel it the whole time like a bucktail, where you can surge it. And the Spitfires fall off at different angles, like different 45-degree angles left to right. And that's the trick, I think, how they design that bait, where it, if you pause it, it's going to fall to the left. And if you pull it a little bit to the right, it's going to fall to the right. And then pull left, then pull right. And so you surge and stop, surge and stop, surge and stop. And so it's not a straight retrieve bait as much as it's like a stop, stop, like a pulsing bait. Works in a straight retrieve. Tyler, you've caught a lot of fish pulsing them though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Just dropping it like early spring and stuff. It's awesome.
You know, so that's one of the things. That's the bait we throw, which is the Spitfire Muskie Baits. They make the Spitfire Chatterbait, which is sort of the namesake. That's a bait to be watching for. If you need it now, call the Muskie Shop. I don't know if they got them in stock yet, but I know they're coming here shortly. That's the chatterbait we use. Next up is Todd. What line do you use for trolling? I currently use 50-pound mono, but I want to save money and make my own down rod, a sucker rod, and a downrig rod. I was thinking about 800-pound braid, but I don't know how that trolls when it comes to small large lures. Okay, so basically he's using 50-pound mono on a rod, which one thing, when I'm in the dead of winter, I will use 30 and 50-pound mono, by the way. If you need to get deep, Tyler, I mean, you were talking earlier about putting weight in front of crankbaits to achieve more depth. A way to get a lot of depth real fast is monofilament.
It's heavy.
You know, you can get down quick with some mono opposed to braid in some instances. I'll tell you this, Todd, my number one go-to is going to be 80-pound braid, because the trolling charts that are on the app and most of the trolling charts for any bait or any like common knowledge on trolling depth is all based on 80-pound braid. 100-pound braid is going to be a thicker diameter, which is going to mean there's more surface area, which means it's not going to go as deep. So the thinner diameter, the deeper it will go with braid. So if I really need to get deep, I will troll 55-pound beast braid. You know, I'll troll 55-pound suffix. So that's a trick. If you need to get deeper faster with less line out, thinner diameter braid. If you need to get deep with bigger things, you can put weight on it. But, you know, if it's a matter of getting down there and dirty, thinner braid. But as far as a baseline tower, I don't think I'll get any disagreement from you. 80-pound braid's about the best you can go.
Yeah, I have it on everything. That's what I use for everything.
And basically, if you have that baseline with the 80-pound braid, you can't go wrong. You know, don't overthink it. Next up is Jake. Jake says, hey guys, with you guys talking about jigs, I tried to email you a picture of some mods that I did. I do with tubes I've been getting from the Muskie shop. He did. He said, I'm an idiot, so I wasn't sure if you got the emails. Hope I could help some other catch some fish. I've been fishing with jigs in the same spots in the same way that I'd fish for bass and walleye, just with bigger jigs, and it's been paying off. Hope you guys got the pic and you can see what I'm talking about. Tyler Hall, let me text it to you. You get that pic?
Look here.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I did,
all
sir.
Right. Basically, Jake is just rigging up some tubes. That's one thing you hear me and the guru talk about. One thing we're working on, Spitfire actually has just a straight-up musky jig. Tyler, me and you have fished that this year, which is just a 3/4-ounce jig head with a rubber skirt and a big grub. It's devastating. And that's another thing me and you have talked about is punching.
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 Punching. Punching muskies.
Punching. Punching.
Go right up and punch him in the jaw and you'll catch him.
Well, getting them weeds and punching, boy.
Punch him.
Punch That's the thing, is you can get in the weeds and punch through the weeds with the jig, just like a bass angler. That's the thing with jigs, is you can pick up big fish on big jigs on spots that fish are hitting jigs. And that's what he's running into. That's what Jake's seeing right now. He's taking tubes and rigging them up and catching big muskies off of bass and walleye spots. Jigging spots are jigging spots a lot of times. And a lot of muskie anglers think, when we hear the word jig, what do you think, Tyler? Bondi.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think about punching weed beds and punching lily pads and banging off the rocks and banging off steep drops and off flats. That's one thing Cody Dalton, he and I talked about, is, you know, a lot of guys will look at his videos that he has up and they go, how do you catch fish on the Lake X Toad? Because he's fishing it way different. He's practically bottom bouncing that thing like a jig, you know? Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to think outside the box. If there's no other bite, nothing else happening. Jigging works for all fish species, including muskies, period. You know, and whether it's vertical jigging, whether it's jigging in a tree, whether it's jigging a weed line, whether it's jigging a rock edge or a hole or a hump or a holler or a squaller, jigging will work. And if the one thing that me and you, Tyler, we've been doing, we did it all summer long, which was sort of doing that typical walleye jigging with just a giant jig. which is bounce it up, let it fall. Bounce it up, let it fall. You know, the other thing that me and you sort of originated and we sort of pride ourselves in is punching for muskies.
Punch them.
Punching. Huh?
What?
Huh? You've been punching?
What the heck is punching?
Which we got videos. We're going to have videos coming out this year on me and you, which is punching weed beds, which is a bass tactic. Don't be afraid to just take a bass tactic and make it bigger. But Jake, good work on that, man. Those jigs look good. If you want those jigs, he got them from the Muskie Shop. They sell a bunch of components there. It's themuskieshop.com. Shameless plug. You can get on there and buy yourself stuff to make your own plug from the shameless plug. Anyway, Jim says this, Tyler. There's an article on the app, The Moon and Muskies 101, that explains how to determine better times to catch muskie based on the moon. In that article, Joe says, muskies do most of their feeding for a brief period right before moonrise and just after moonset. And the daily rise and set of the moon simply trigger muskies to feed. But the muskies' major times on the app correspond to when the muskie is the moon is directly over and under. And the muskie minor times correspond with the moon rise and moon set. This seems to contradict me. I'm seven Pepsis in. Booga booga booga. She says, this seems contradictory to me. Is the major the best time to fish or the minor? Okay. Who knows?
Fishing both.
What she's getting at is like, is the major better? Is the minor better? Moonrise, moonset, sunset, sunrise, the whole bit. I have seen weeks where it's all moonrise. I've seen weeks where it's all minor, all major. That's the one thing, is to give you like empirical evidence and say the major is better than the minor. Not true. You can get anecdotal answers from anybody that will say, I catch more fish on the major. I catch more fish on the minor. I catch them at sunrise, sunset. The major, minor, basically that is breaking up the day into activity periods for you. And to say that one is better than another is a mute point until we consider all the other factors, whether it be time of year, you know, the sunrise, sunset cycle, length of daylight, you know, that can play a role. Tyler, me and you have been privy to bites before, though, where it's like, it's all moonrise. It's all moonset. The minor is bigger than the major. The major is bigger than the minor. That just gives you a time to sort of dial in once you have things going on. What we always say is this. You got to fish it all, but focus your energy on good spots during those times. And then you can see a pattern arise. So if you get to fish one day a week, you won't see the pattern as much as if you're out there 4 days in a row, 5 days in a row, 25 days in a row. Like me, 90 days in a row. You know, I'm sitting there eating ham sandwiches until certain things happen anymore. You know, I'm sort of going through the motion and go, all right, it's a moonrise bite, boys. I'm going to really pay attention now. That's one thing with the lunar cycles, and a lot of people don't get it. They go, well, you know, one's better than the other. And you go, it really isn't. It's a really rough, I look at the moon cycle tower as a really rough roadmap, as a really rough roadmap that allows me to focus my energy. You know, and you go, there are increased cycles, there are increased feeding, there's increased things going on, but this is a good roadmap for me to go, you know, I need to focus from 4 to 5 on this.
And instead of eating my chili cheese fries right now, right, I probably should be casting.
Should be casting. And it lets you know when the off time is, where you go, okay, this is the time to troll, this is the time to cast. But each body of water is going to be different. You will see patterns arise. And there can be a pattern for 3 days, there can be a pattern for a month, but you have to be perceptive of that, which means you've got to be doing all the right things. The muskies are not going to jump in the boat under any of those lunar cycles. So you've got to do all the right things in and around that to make sure that you're ensuring that the muskies will hit. But that's a really good time to be like, make sure that we regain focus and we focus back in and go, okay, you know, there's a major coming up. I need to be on my A game. And one thing, and I had a client ask me this week, Tyler, and I'll tell you, a guy looked me in the face and he said, what makes a guy a good muskie angler and what makes a guy a novice? And I said, two things. And I just sort of rattled it off. I said, self-discipline, number one, and knowing how to retrieve a bait, number two. That's it, right? Self-discipline is, I've been out here for 6 hours and I'm focused. And I know when it's time to refocus, and I use the moon as a way to self-discipline and go, okay, stop fooling around. 345 to 545 is supposed to be good. That is a demarcation line, a roadmap for me to regain focus and focus my mental energy back into the muskie game. Now, I've got it pretty much at this point in my life where I can go out there and cast for 12 hours and I can go into robot mode where everything's good, the retrieves are good, I'm focused, and I have a control of my lures and my baits. But muskie fishing boils down to self-discipline and a mastery or a good comprehension of how to retrieve all these baits in a triggering manner. That's it. Use the moon as your guide to go, okay, I need to be on good spots right now. When, you know, if there's been a bite on a minor for the last 3 days, well, I better be on my best spots on a minor. You know, that's just a real good way to break the day up into chunks so you can break it into parts and go, minors are better than majors. Majors are better than minor. Moon size, moon res, blah, 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 blah. Right?
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. There's not, if you look at Tyler, if you look at the majors and the minors on most moon phase days, there's not a lot of dead time, by the way.
No, there's not much going on.
That's really just a good way to break the day up into chunks. You know, you could theoretically go, all right, I'm going to fish for 8 hours and I'm going to break the day. Let's say there's 8 hours of daylight during the winter, right? Well, I'm going to break the day down to 2 hour chunks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you can skin the cat a bunch of different ways. You know, the lunar cycles definitely play a part and there's increased activity closer to those events. Irregardless. You, and it's one thing, Tyler, you've heard me say this. You better be doing all the right things all the time for when one of these things are ready to go. That's it.
Absolutely.
And that's what it comes down to, self-discipline. So I will tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, muskies show up when you have a good retrieve more than anything. You know, I dealt with it today on the water just hours ago. Bad retrieves don't move muskies. Good retrieves move muskies. That's it. If your presentations are bad, the moon phase will not fix it.
If your retrieve looks like a limp hot dog.
A sausage veal, in the words of Meat Pain, Paina.
It looks like a meat pain, a limp sausage.
Yep.
Probably ain't going to catch no muskie.
Not going to catch a muskie. Good retrieves move muskies, right? A good retrieve in correlation to a solar, a good retrieve in correlation to a solar or lunar event moves a muskie and gets them to eat. That's it. You know, today I played with entire my bait of the day. The soup du jour was the big norm, right? And that's a Spitfire muskie baits, Lost Creek lure muskie bait there. That was my bait today. Okay. You want to know how many muskies ate that thing today? Seven over 40. Okay. It was not a matter of solar, lunar, this, that, or that, blah, 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 blah. It was a matter of the right retrieve on the right structure at the right pace, the right speed. So it was a matter of profile, collar, action, however you want to do that hierarchy. Usually I tell everybody that the things that matter more from one to three is speed, profile, collar. That's sort of my hierarchy. But having a good retrieve on good spots at the right time is what matters more than anything. I'm down a rabbit hole in a big old tangent there, Tyler. I'm going to keep moving here. Ty says, hey, cool cat. Oh, no, no, no. Next up is Chauncey. Chauncey says, I love the app and podcast. I listen every week and I always learn something. I've been fishing in southern Wisconsin, getting some bites from suspended muskies in about 30 feet of water. He said, this year and in the years past, I get very few bites on meat this time of year. I've been running one about 5 feet down on a bobber, another about 10 to 15 straight down. Any tips on what depth I should be setting my meat? Tyler, help Chauncey set his meat, please.
I would be setting them at whatever you're marking the fish at, whatever their depth is.
Higher than.
A little bit higher than them, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they can find it, you know.
Dangle your meat in front of them.
Also, put some bling on your meat. You want to bling it out in a nice ring. Put a blade on it, or take a rubber skirt off like a little bass spinnerbait and put it on the middle part of the swivel on the leader, the sucker leader, the sucker rig, and put it right up there. When the suckers are kind of going crazy, that thing will be bouncing back and forth and creating a lot of movement and pulsating in the water.
Seriously, you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It looks stupid. I've had so many comments like, dude, freaking moron,
man. You got blinged out meat, son.
I bling out my meat.
Would you say it is best for Chauncey to not hang his meat on their face but hang his meat above their face?
it's their preference.
That seems to be
it's up to the individual.
Well, the one thing I would say about if I was going to hang my meat is make sure that I'm not going to be at a set depth all day long. Just like a lure presentation, vary it out. You know what I'm saying? One thing I love, and it's God, I'm on another big old tear here, but I do this with casting presentations. I set an alarm in my phone all the time, and I'll set it for an hour interval. Right? I'll throw the same bait for an hour. If nothing happens in an hour, right, it might be time to rethink my game, because I can get so locked in and going, this is what they want. And you go, let's say it's a 10 hours of daylight. If I said throw that bait for, you know, an hour out of 10 hours of daylight, I've now eaten up a tenth of my day. You know, if you throw it for 3 hours, that's 30% on a bait that's not worked yet. You've got to force yourself, once again, self-discipline, to have variance, right? And so you've got to walk that fine line of I'm exploring versus I know. And if you're positive that you're getting bites and things are happening, then stick with it. If you're trying to figure it out, you need to add variation. Almost goes back to the moon phase question of I'm going to go far more conservative during a major or minor. Right, but outside of that, you might be able to drop it down. Play with your meat. That's what I'm getting at, Tyler.
Sometimes you dangle your meat, you play with it, you bling it out in nice jewelry for presentation.
That's it. Present your meat in an appealing way, Chauncey. Get it out there, Tyler. I'm exhausted.
You're tired too.
I've almost finished with the Big Tech Muskie Shop project. Big Tech.
Oh, nice.
I've been doing Big Tech here, Big Tech there, a lot of things. We got a game coming out, the whole bit. So we're going to do one more question, then we're going to talk about the contest this week, because we already said one, but we'll do another one. Who cares? He says, I live in Madison. I'm hoping to score a muskie before the ice up. I don't have a boat, therefore I don't have electronics or any of that happy horseshit. Oh, so I'll be bank fishing for the rest of the season. I've been trying Poseidon's jigging spinnerbait. Shout out to Half Pole Steve. Thank you very much. Working a Suic slowly, slow cranks, and slow working a Bulldog. Besides launching a sucker out there and waiting, got any tips for trying to score a muskie from the shore before the end of the season? Okay, Ty.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think? I mean, should he? What my brain goes to immediately is Navionics app. Find the steep shoreline on the app and walk to it and fish that.
Hang a sucker off of it. I don't know.
That would be my thought. It's fine, like hard break line. Navionics offers a killer phone app, or you can do it from your desktop computer, right? And get that app. So you might not have a boat, but you still have a topo map of that app. The cool thing about shore fishing is this, is watch a muskie angler. 99.9% of them are going to the bank somewhere anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be looking for shoreline structure. Look for sharp breaks. Look for like those big old squigglies I talk about, where those tight break lines are. I would be hiking it as best as you could to get over there and soak your sucker there. You know, put a sucker. I don't know what the line restrictions are, nor do I care. But maybe you can put a sucker out there and throw a bulldog in and around it. You know, be willing to like make the trek. You know, I don't know if, you know, and I'm assuming a lot of bank anglers are adventurous. You might not be, you know, relegated to the public park or something like that. But get out there and get in the bush, man. Get your dang machete and cut something up, you know. You know, whack your way through the weeds and get over to some of those break lines where you go, that's a steeper break. That looks like a musky kind of spot.
Whack the bush away so you can hang your meat.
Whack the bush away so you can hang your meat. Tyler, that is handedly the best advice you've ever gotten.
I'm a wise man, my friends.
That is it, folks. Sometimes you must spread the bush so you can get your meat where it needs to be. And that's what you got to do. Get you a machete. Go to the Harbor Freight and get in there and start whacking away. You know, in all honesty, like I said, the structure is the same. You're going to have fish that are going to that deeper edge, those tapering lines. The one thing you're at a disadvantage of is you're not going to be able to see bait fish. You're just going to have to sort of pattern that thing out. Like I said, Navionics or a good lake map is going to get you further than anything. Figure that out. The other thing is this, man. As a bank angler, watch where the boats are anyway. If you have a lake that's pressured, you actually have an advantage where you can get into some tighter stuff. If there's, say, spot A, you see a bunch of boats going in there, figure out how to get there from the bank, and you're going to be able to do some damage on that side of things. Tyler, I've been guiding for a billion days straight. We're going to wrap this thing up. What is the, I know we talked, I can't even remember what contest I threw out there, but what is a good contest this week for another Junior's Inlines, Tyler?
I want your best Halloween costume. Because Halloween's coming up.
Okay. Doesn't have to be muskie related. Just has to be like the best Halloween costume.
Just anything. More preference. If whoever has just a potato sack, I will lean towards a potato sack. I am not going to give a reason why, but that'd be nice.
That'd be very nice.
Or a gorilla suit.
How about this? If you want a guaranteed win, best Halloween costume. You know, you don't have to be on the boat. You just have to be standing there holding a musky rod with a musky bait on it. So you can be dressed up as like a Fraggle holding a musky rod out in your garage, right? Like, just be wear your Halloween costume and have a musky rod in your hand.
That would be amazing.
I want to see Barney the Dinosaur holding a mag dog. You know,
Barney the Dinosaur on a boat holding a muskie.
Maybe.
Can someone do it?
No, it's far too cold for that up there.
Us Wisconsinites are hardcore fellas.
Listen, maybe you're dressed as Brett Favre. I don't know. You guys are holding on to the glory days up there. Maybe you're dressed up as a Pokemon. You ever play in Pokemon's tile where you get them Pikachus and them Charizards and them
Pika Pika.
Maybe you're just a Pika Pika holding a Medusa. whatever, bless your heart, whatever it takes. Best Halloween costume, holding a musky bait, the weirder the better. That's it. You win the grand.
You win everything. You win everything.
You win everything. Legal disclaimer, everything is a junior's in license. Tyler, that's another Musky 360 podcast in the can, buddy. Freaking, we do this as a labor of love. We appreciate everybody listening. Guys, I got to tell you, we're talking over a quarter million of you who have listened, over a quarter million listens in the past year.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of hours. That's and I'm being serious. That's a lot of time you guys have given us, a lot of time you've let us entertain you. I'm humbled. I'm honored that 300,000, 4,200, whatever the heck it is. It's like 342,000 or whatever human hours have. It's more time than I'll ever be alive. And the fact you guys let us entertain you, let us help you. We don't know it all. We're trying our best. We have some of the best minds in the Musky game that we get advice from, that we have our experience from, that, you know, we're trying our best here. And we consider everybody that writes a message, everybody that uses the app, we consider you guys a friend. We're honored and we're humbled and just absolutely happy to do this every week. And we thank you. And I know it sounds corny and it's like lame and you don't hear us be serious very often, but me and Tyler talk about it. It is a blessing and an honor to be able to do the podcast for you guys. And I will never be serious again. You guys can eat my meat. Okay. Take a pretend you're the muskie and I'm the sucker. And that's what you guys can do. Sayonara, suckers.